No one has ever come back from death to tell us about it. Have you heard someone say that? Or something like that? People say that when they don't think a life after death is possible or likely. It's sort of their argument that, well, if all these billions of people have died from the history of the world, surely some of them would come back and tell us about it. Of course, the Lord, who came down through the heavens into the world to be with us, was well acquainted with the nature of heaven. And one of the things he did was tell us things about it. The Bible is filled with stories about people and their adventures. It's about men like Abram and King David and Saul, all of the kings of Israel, and so many other people. But people often imagine that the Bible doesn't say very much about angels. In fact, angels are very often mentioned in the Bible. I did a search for angel and came up with 280 instances of angels being mentioned or described in the various stories of the Word. Angels speak with people. They relay messages. They give warnings. They tell people what's going to happen. They encourage them. They support them and give them guidance. Sometimes angels are said to appear in dreams. Sometimes they speak to a person from out of heaven. And sometimes they just come and visit. Abram, Hagar, Sarah, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, the whole assembly of Israel were all visited by angels at various times. Gideon, who was one of the judges in Israel during the time before the kingdom, Gideon was visited by an angel while he was out threshing wheat. And it appears that the angels just kind of walked into the scene. We read about that. It says, Gideon was threshing wheat when an angel appeared to him. And Gideon argued with this angel because the angel says, blessings, the Lord is with you. And Gideon's response was, if the Lord is with me, why are things so bad? Why are so many bad things happening to us and the people at this time? And then he asked the angel for proof. He said, show me a sign. And then he went to prepare a little meal for the angel, because that's what hospitality in those days required. If someone came and visited, you prepared and offered them food and drink. So Gideon went in and he roasted some lamb and he made some broth from the cooking and he brought it out to the angel. And the angel told him to put it on this rock. And then he touched the meat, the angel touched the meat with his rod or staff, and fire came up out of the rock and consumed the offering. And Gideon said, or noticed, that this was an angel. He hadn't really been aware of that before. If this angel had had wings, don't you suppose Gideon would have noticed? And to emphasize the common or shared humanity between angels and we other human beings, there's a story of the angel that John saw when he was on the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner. And the angel showed him the holy city, New Jerusalem, and took a reed and he measured out the city so that John could see its size. And the angel spoke to him and he said to John, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, John says. But he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and I am of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The angel was having nothing to do with John bowing down and worshiping him. He said, I'm a fellow human being, just like you. The angel wanted John to know that he was of the same stuff, the same quality, a created being. The Greek word, as I mentioned in the talk for children, was for angel means a messenger. And that's angel's primary role, is to communicate. And you might imagine if the Lord reigns and is above all, then the heavens, the highest heaven, the heaven of love, the spiritual heaven, the heaven of understanding and neighborly love, and the natural heaven of obedience are all between us and the Lord, not as a barrier, but as a messenger, as a way that the Lord brings his message down to a level that we can understand. Just the way if a mathematician were to speak to a group of kindergarten teachers, he wouldn't speak algebra or geometry. He'd speak simple numbers and counting and things like that. The Lord does that by bringing his wisdom down through the understanding of the various heavens. So those messengers, whether they appear to us as angels or whether they're just there in our heads all the time, helping us to see and know spiritual things, the angels are doing that role. Two angels visited Lot when he was living in the city of Sodom. And they came to him and they stayed the night. And Lot tried to protect him from the people of the city. And when they appeared, Lot got up and went to greet them and bowed himself down to them. Another story is the story of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet who was called to curse the children of Israel when they were on the journey coming out of Egypt toward the land of Canaan. And the prophet Balaam went to go where the children of Israel were riding on his donkey. And as he rode along, the donkey suddenly stopped and turned aside. And in one case, he ran into a wall or a hedge and he crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And Balaam was furious at his donkey. And the donkey spoke to him and told him, did you ever know me to be disobedient? But then the angel became visible to Balaam. And he was standing there with a sword in his hand. And he said, if your donkey had not stopped, surely by now I would have killed you. The angel was there in human form with a sword in his hand. Angels appeared to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds. A whole host or army of angels appeared to the shepherds, proclaiming the good news of the Lord's birth. One story that we often don't think of as being about angels is the story of the Lord's transfiguration. The Lord went up onto the mountain with his three closest disciples, and there he appeared before them transfigured, shining like the sun in robes of white. And with him was Moses and Elijah. Angels. Doesn't say angels, but they had lived hundreds of years earlier, and now they were there appearing with the Lord, speaking with him, alive, every bit in a human form, even though they had died hundreds of years earlier. There's a story that the Lord tells, a parable about Lazarus and the rich man, and that story is full of details that want us or invite us to think about the nature of the spiritual world and spiritual life. Lazarus was a beggar, and he was starving, and he was eating crumbs at the foot of the rich man's table, and they both died. And Lazarus was, it says in the King James, he was in Abraham's bosom. So he was in heaven. And the rich man, it says, was in hell. And he was thirsty in hell, and he called out to Abraham, and he asked Abraham to send Lazarus down to dip in some water and give him a drink. And Abraham said, there's a great barrier between you and us, a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. People in heaven are in a different place than people in hell. And the rich man then said something interesting to Abraham, and I thought I'd read it. This is in Luke chapter 16. After Abraham had said, besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then the rich man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raise from the dead. And reminds me of what I started out with. No one has ever come back to tell us about it from the dead. And of course, that's provided because if it were to happen, we would say, oh yes, well certainly I believe that, but then we would go on living our life just the way we wanted to. And that would do us more harm than not having ever believed in life after death. The Lord speaks often about eternal life. In the sentence, I read the Lord's words in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he also talked in the recitation, which we read together, about how his sheep have eternal life. He gives them eternal life. And in many other places. He promised the thief on the cross when he was crucified, and he was there hanging on the cross, and there were two common thieves crucified along with him. And he said to the one, this day you will be with me in paradise. So the Lord wanted us to have this clear sense that we are not far removed from the next life. We don't wait until some end of times or coming of Christ for us to be raised up out of the graves. No, this day, he said to the man, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't want people to think about heaven as somewhere else. That's also why he said the kingdom of God is within you. He says, don't say it's here or it's there or it's coming sometime. The kingdom of God is within you. And that's because people who go to heaven because heaven is in them. Heavenly things in them, love for others, love of following the Lord, doing his will, compassion, you know, all of those heavenly qualities are in people who, when they cross over, start looking for a place where they belong. And where they belong is where their heart is, where their loves are. And that's also what is meant by the Lord's words when he was giving us the Holy Supper, or the sacrament we call communion. He said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And to eat the Lord's flesh is to be one with him in substance. You know, and the substance of the Lord is love, infinite, merciful love. And when we take that love into ourselves by acting in loving ways, then that becomes who we are. Just the way the physical food we eat actually is assimilated by the body and becomes part of how the body builds itself. And the same thing with the blood, which represents the Lord's teachings, the things that he shares with us, that when we receive those things into us, then we have eternal life. In the coming weeks, we'll be looking at what it is like to be an angel, what it is like to be a devil, what it is like when we wake up into the next life, and what heaven and hell are like. The houses, the trees, the flowers, the gardens, the food, you know, all of that for people who live there. Emanuel Swedenborg came as close as anyone but the Lord has ever come in going to heaven and coming back to tell us about it. And he speaks of his experiences as miraculous, as a great a miracle as there ever was. Something that the Lord provided for him for a purpose. That the eyes of his spirit were opened and he saw into heaven and hell, not just once or not briefly, but continuously over 30 years. Let's read in the True Christianity number 324. He writes, "There is also something I can say from experience, because I have been allowed to talk with angels. I have talked with some who lived many centuries ago, with some from before the flood and some from after it, and with some from the time of the Lord, with one of the apostles, and with many who lived in subsequent centuries. They all looked like people in the prime of life and told me that the only thing they knew about death was that it was damnation." So whenever the Bible talks about death, it's talking about spiritual death. The death of our spirit is when we turn away from the Lord and we cut off the light and heat of heaven, and it's like our spirit dies. When people who have lived good lives get to heaven, they all enter the young adulthood of their earthly lives and keep it forever, even though they have been old and debilitated in the world. Women, even women who have become old and frail in the world, return to the flower of youth and beauty. So in the coming weeks, we're going to talk some about Swedenborg's experiences, and we'll learn something of what our own experience might be like, both as we experience the transition into the next life or the process of dying, and what it's like to live there. Today, I want to close by thinking about our experience of heaven while we're living in this world, because, you know, we all have experiences of heaven. We mostly don't remember what happened in infancy, but infants experience heaven all the time. They're surrounded by angels of the highest heavens. And you see them smiling, feeling joy, laughing spontaneously. Little infants, children do that because they're in the presence of spirits and angels. And we experience states of heaven in our life whenever we can be open to them. So our task is inviting you to remember a time when you were filled with joy, bathed with light, and felt love for everyone, because you are in heaven. If you can think of more than one time, you might make a list, write a journal, or share with someone close to you how those experiences affected you. And for me, immediately what came to mind was being present at the birth of my 5 children. I was one of those fortunate fathers who was able to be in the delivery room, hold the baby right after it was born while it was still slippery, and just feel that presence and the amazing sense of wonder. And at the same time, such awe and gratitude for the strength and courage of my wife at that time. I had a similar experience of feeling the presence of angels after I was in a very bad car accident. And I just felt like the Lord was sending one person after another who I felt were like angels to me. And I felt so blessed, even though I was physically in pain. It was like I was in this wonderful state of joy because of the people who were coming to me. So you could do that. Think about it. Maybe share some of that with others. Amen.